at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. Happy New Year as we are here for our first show of 2025. It is Bill and Drew in the studio right now. Dan is on his way down to Troy for Troy women's basketball. We'll check in with him here momentarily. And we'll also be checking in a little while with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Going to give Ferg, we'll check in with him at the half of the Sugar Bowl, which is going on right now. Obviously postponed after the terrible tragedy down in New Orleans early New Year's morning, in which, you know, 15 people have died, including a young man from Montgomery who just graduated from Auburn in the last year or so. And I mean, our thoughts and prayers for everyone who was involved in that just terrible, terrible tragedy that unthinkable that someone would just want to, you know, run down, kill as many people as possible. I'm wondering, you know, how many more had it been, you know, an hour or two earlier. But I mean, it is terrible, just a terrible situation. So the Sugar Bowl going on right now, and a ball game that has been a struggle offensively for both teams. Georgia's moved the ball a couple of times. Notre Dame had not been able to until just now when Riley Leonard, the Fairhope product out of, you know, via Duke to Notre Dame, just broke off a long run. And Notre Dame has their best scoring opportunity of the first half. Just under 10 minutes to play. Just under 10 minutes to play in the second quarter, and Georgia has taken a 3-0 lead on a field goal here on their last possession. So a tight defensive struggle up to this point, and this one here, Georgia trying to become the only team with a first-round bye in the playoffs to get a win, because we have seen the other top seeds, number one, Oregon, just destroyed by Ohio State. And then the number three and four seeds. And, you know, people were wondering about should they be seeded that high. I mean, Boise State and Arizona State. Arizona State played a great game against Texas, fell behind 17-3 early on, and looked like they were about to be run out of the Georgia Dome, not the Georgia Dome, run out of the out of Atlanta there in the Peach Bowl, but Arizona State came back and had a great opportunity. I mean, they had a couple of great opportunities to win the ball game. Obviously, if they could have made a stop on 4th and 13 in the first overtime, they get the win. And then there are a lot of people that Arizona State fans are never going to get over the non-targeting call. Now, that did not mean, I mean, what it would have done, even if they call the targeting, it would have been a first down for Arizona State. But if you watched the ball game, or if you paid any attention to Arizona State, a field goal, it was nothing. There's nothing guaranteed about place kicking for Arizona State. As actually, they had one of their better ball games, only missing a couple of field goals yesterday in that double overtime loss to Texas. So Texas is there's one SEC team right now. You have two Big Ten teams, and you will either have another SEC team or Notre Dame in the final four. If Notre Dame, and by the way, Notre Dame with a field goal to tie this one up at 3 apiece as we approach the midpoint of the second quarter, if Notre Dame were to win, then you would have the 5, 6, 7, and 8 seeds left. Georgia trying to be the only, as we said, the only team to get a bye, and the number 2 seed here is trying to advance. And we'll keep you updated on this as we head on through the show here this afternoon. Going to be a little bit shorter edition of The Drive here this afternoon because we have Auburn women's basketball coming up. And that one, we will be on the air till around 5:35 before we have to leave the air this afternoon. So we've got until then, and I understand that obviously a lot of folks watching the Sugar Bowl, but if you get a chance, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, that number 334-321-1390, or you can text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast of the Drive, and that number is 334-564-1840. Let's get to the Drive Hotline. I think we lost Dan. We were about to bring in Dan Peck. Probably hit a bad spot there as far as cell coverage as he's on his way down to Troy. Mentioned Auburn women's basketball. The Tigers will be taking on number 25 Ole Miss tonight at 6 o'clock over at Neville Arena. So that's why we'll be leaving the air a little earlier today, on until around 5:30. We'll head to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and welcome in Dan Peck. Dan, who have the Trojans got this evening? Hey, Dan. I don't know if Dan can hear us. Dan is headed to Troy, but there are a couple of spots between here and there where there could be a struggle a little bit with the coverage. Let's see if let's see if he's in a little better cell area now. Well, I'll tell you what, we will check in with Dan in a little while. Love your thoughts. We'd love your thoughts on any of the games that have gone on thus far. One thing that is obvious is there's going to have to be, and we talked about this before the first playoff game was played, but there's no question the committee, the playoff committee, is going to have to adjust at least the seeding here, as it just hasn't worked the way you would like. I mean, I don't think anybody could argue with whoever the winner of this ball game is and the other three teams that are left alive, you know, Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas, they're going to be very deserving teams that are in the playoff, but the seeding is going to have to be addressed following the postseason. All right, so who are we going to get to first? Yeah, I think we've got Dan Peck on the line as he's headed down to Troy. Dan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bill. Hey, everybody. Great to talk with you. So the problem with calling when I'm on my way to Troy for these games is at any moment I can lose you on
right.
the cell network.
Yep, understand.
So I'm on my way to Union Springs right now. I'm going to be at the game a little bit more than an hour. I'm on ESPN Plus tonight. Excited about that, doing my first simulcast this year, so people can check out Troy and Coastal on ESPN Plus. That's getting started tonight at 6 p.m. But yeah, Happy New Year, Bill, and great to talk to everybody.
Yeah, and so you take 29 down to Troy, huh?
Yeah. Well, sometimes during I might take the interstate home, but in the middle of the day, you never know what can happen on that stretch of 85. I'll take Auburn to Pike Road on the interstate and Troy Highway all the way down sometimes too, but I like the Tuskegee to Union Springs.
Yeah, I understand.
Especially right now, it is a gorgeous drive this time of year, and sometimes it can be a little bit unreliable from a cell network standpoint.
Yeah, but I mean, especially during the daytime. I do understand the loss of coverage that you have sometimes. Love to get your thoughts, Dan. I was talking about it here a couple of minutes ago. I mean, we have had we finally had a game that was worth watching all the way to the end, unless you were a fan of one of the winning teams here in the playoffs with the Arizona State-Texas game. But other than that, man, there have been games that just feel like they're over before halftime.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most shocking thing is how thorough Ohio State, how much better they were
right.
than an Oregon team that I think a lot of people thought could win the whole thing. And then, Texas, and even that Texas game, Bill, going into the fourth quarter, it looked like Texas was going to put another score on the board, and that was going to be a really one-sided game.
It was, but the crazy thing, though, Dan, was Arizona State moved the ball better and more consistently than Texas did the whole game. They just couldn't cash in. I felt like I was watching some of Auburn as we were watching some of that game, because they get down to the 20-yard line and then, you know, not be able to do anything at all.
Yeah, although a decidedly un-Auburn-like fourth quarter.
Oh, yes.
For Arizona State, you know, with the way. And hey, you know what? I think we both really liked Kenny Dillingham.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he was at Auburn. And so it's great to see him having a blast with his alma mater in the college football playoff. And I think they will be, how about this, Bill? I think they could be sort of a trendy team next year.
Sure, they ought to be. If they could hang on to their players, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? I think a lot of players would want to go play there after the way they've looked the last couple of years. I think they could be able to go get some players, between now and the start of next season. So no, I think it's that's a really cool story. And then, I mean, what do you say about Ohio State though? Right? I mean, that was a steamroller.
Ohio State looks like the team that people thought they would be back in the preseason and early on this year. I mean, they are supposedly a $20 million roster, and man, they look worth it here in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was remarkable, and they I mean, I would understand if somebody thinks they've jumped into the role of favorite to win the whole thing. Between the injury to Carson Beck and the way Texas and Arizona State came down to the wire, and the Penn State won. But it's still, you know, that's a team that I think some folks view with skepticism as far as winning the entire thing. And then there's also Notre Dame, right? Who feels like a bit of a wild card in these proceedings.
Yeah, right now Ohio State just looks like the best all around team. Offense, defense, special teams. they just appear to be solid. Don't have as many questions, which is crazy to say, about some of these other teams, but they all do. I mean, there are all some questions about how solid are they in either one of the areas, running or passing or special teams, whatever. Other teams, just right now, Ohio State, and that's why I was saying, I don't think anybody would argue this, that there's going to have to be something done as far as considering the seeds going into this, because there's a chance, if Notre Dame beats Georgia, that you've got the 5, 6, 7, and 8 teams playing in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, it's too bad that there was such a gulf this year between the second conference champion and the third conference champion. I wonder if that's going to be the case every year. But no, that rule was, you know, I think its heart was in the right place. And I know that there are probably people in college football that don't want three SEC teams in the top four or three Big Ten teams in the top four. But no, I don't think that the committee probably – I think five conference champions making the draw
– Oh, sure. I think they should. Absolutely.
Is fine. But I think the seeding probably needs to be 1 through 12 reflecting – sort of common opinion or statistical evidence as far as who should have those spots, rather than, well, you automatically get to be the three or the four because you were the third or fourth best conference champion.
Yeah, I mean, try to convince basketball fans that would fly in the basketball tournament. No, I mean, I think you just need to seed the teams as best you can, but sure, you have automatic qualifiers, but not automatic teams, you know, seated in the top four.
No, I think reserving spots like that in the NCAA tournament would be a lead balloon, Bill. I don't think it would fly whatsoever. You know, speaking of which, I saw a bracket projection, I think it was Bracket Matrix earlier today, that had, and this could change as league play gets going and whatever, but how about seven SEC teams projected on the three line or better?
Wow.
In the NCAA tournament between Kentucky.
Right now they ought to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kentucky State and A&M, they had as three seeds. Bama and Florida as two seeds. Auburn and Tennessee as one seed.
Well, that would sure make sense when you're talking about the top two teams in the country right now. So, yeah, this.
Yeah, but that's a heck of a league.
Oh, it is, and it is, no question. I can't wait. They're gonna be some games that really shock some people in the conference because everybody is so competitive. I mean, it's just. Well, I'll tell you what. Go out and look at some of the places where you might be able to try to find a ticket for Saturday's game against Missouri, and that'll give you an idea of how excited fans are and how tough a ticket is.
Hey Bill, when Auburn won the SEC in 2017-2018, they played in 16 league games that year. They played two against teams in the top 25. It was the first two games of the season that year against Arkansas and Tennessee. That was the only time all year Auburn's on. I think Auburn is on pace to play like 12 or 13 games against top 25 teams in SEC play this year.
Wow. And add in the preseason, and that's phenomenal.
And add in that teams like Texas and Missouri and Georgia and LSU aren't ranked
right
in the top
yet,
25.
Right now, but
right now.
Very easily could. Yeah, could be after a week or so in the conference.
Georgia could be the third best team in the ACC,
wow.
Right? And they're not ranked right now. They've lost one game to Marquette. They've got a couple of these teams: Ole Miss, Kentucky, A&M, or Tennessee and Auburn. Like they've got some chances to show. Georgia could very well. I won't be surprised at all, Bill, if Georgia's in the top 25 when Auburn goes to Athens. Right before that game against Tennessee.
No, you're right. It's really going to be great. I mean, just looking at the schedule for Saturday, some great games on tap Saturday in the opening day of SEC play. Dan, I know you're in and out. Don't want to lose you, so we'll go ahead and.
Okay.
Yeah. Came through just fine. We're going to be checking in with Justin here at halftime. We've got a call holding, so we'll let you go. Good luck with the broadcast this evening.
Thank you, guys. Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Dan Peck. Yeah, he'll be in tomorrow. Let's get to Scott before we get to our first break, because Scott called in right as we were getting with Dan. Hey, Scott, how you doing today?
Good. I just wonder if there's any kind of updates on the three women that were out Sunday besides Savannah. You know, you had Talia, you had Collins, and you had Duhon all out.
I've not seen anything as far as an update, and I was looking at some of the pregame notes here just a few minutes ago, so I'm really not sure. Boy, you're not kidding. That is that's big to have all those out, though. There's no question.
Yeah, that was the difference making that game Sunday. So.
Yeah, Auburn can't just be a one person team.
No, sir. All right. Well, I'm just curious.
Appreciate it, Scott. Well, we're going to check. Maybe Justin will have heard, or we can find something. We'll pass that along if we get that. Again, you can hear the ball game right here on ESPN 106.7. Coverage is going to start around 5:40. This evening, so we're on the air until around 5:35. 334-321-1390. Notre Dame with the ball as we're approaching the 3-minute mark in the first half. Well, I guess they just punted back to Georgia, so Georgia with the ball back late in the first half. It is tied at 3 in the Sugar Bowl, which, of course, was postponed from yesterday evening. We'll get to our first break here of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio here on this Thursday afternoon. First show of the new year. Yep. At least, you know, I'm not writing. Does anybody have to write checks much anymore? You know, I mean, I'm trying to think the last time I've written one, so I won't have to worry about that. You know, it used to be, man, you'd write a check and you'd always put the last year on there. So, I mean, as hard as it is to believe it's 2025, you know, at least don't have to deal with that much anymore. They're at the 2 minute timeout. Again, it's not the NFL, so it's not the 2 minute warning. The 2 minute timeout in the Sugar Bowl, and Notre Dame and Georgia are tied at 3. So this one is the closest, the most competitive of the playoff games we've had at the half. Because it seems like most ball games have been over early. Dan was talking about, Ohio State. They have looked so good. That loss to Michigan really seemed to just ignite them and get them playing to the potential that everyone knows that they have and have shown. And, there have been reports that this is a $20, $21 million roster. If they would have been bumped out of the playoffs by now, a team that was, preseason thought to be a national champion, one of the national champion contenders. And, going into the Michigan game, remember their only loss was a 1-point loss at Oregon. And then Michigan just completely shut them down. And that's when there were concerns whether is Ryan Day going to make it if they lose in the first round. And then they just jumped all over Tennessee. And they did the exact same thing to Oregon. And the score didn't even indicate how dominant it was. 34-0. It was 31-0 in the first quarter. Unbelievable. I mean, just how Ohio State just – I mean, they looked stronger, faster, everything. I mean, it looked like, grown men playing against, junior high or something. Just unbelievable how they have looked here in two games. So it's hard to argue with anyone who might say, even though they're going to be the lowest seed heading into the Final Four, into the semifinals, that they, it's hard to argue with anybody who would feel like they're the favorite heading in. They will, the winner here plays Penn State. So, it'll be Ohio State and Texas. Yeah, that should be. Texas now, it's funny. Texas at times can look just okay. Offensively, they sort of sputter a little at times offensively. I mean, defensively, they're really good. But I thought Sam Levitt and Arizona State did a pretty darn good job against that Texas defense. And I wondered, and we talked about it during the year, I wondered how to really gauge how good Texas is because their schedule was not that difficult. I mean, it's no question that, Texas in the regular season, their biggest win was the win over Michigan. But they have played well here, and they hung on. Again, it came down to one play. I mean, that converting the 4th-and-13 there in overtime. I mean, Arizona State that close to getting the win, but you have to credit Quinn Ewers and Texas for that. They hit that play on 4th-and-13, and then of course, they get the ball to start the second overtime. So they go back-to-back touchdowns and then get the pick to wrap it up. 39-31, and by far the most exciting game that we have had here in the playoffs thus far. We're down to a minute 14 to go in the first half. Notre Dame and Georgia are tied at 3. And again, there haven't been a whole lot of threats offensively in this ball game. So we'll see if the offenses get things going a little bit. Georgia is a team that, is sort of used to this. Playing in these, tough defensive kind of games. And, of course, Gunnar Stockton playing for Carson Beck being out. Stockton's done pretty well up to this point. Riley Leonard looked like he had some nerves early on. But Leonard now has he's 7 for 11, but he's only thrown for 45 yards. Stockton, on the other hand, 8 of 13, 129 yards. The thing is, Georgia has not been able to run the ball. Georgia with 18 rushing yards on 17 attempts, and it hasn't been a cakewalk for Notre Dame, Riley Leonard, who just got sacked, is Notre Dame's leading rusher. So Notre Dame around 65 yards rushing in the ball game, but over 40 of that has come from Riley Leonard. So none of the running backs, nobody's been able to get the running game going, and that's one of the reasons why we are tied at 3 as we approach halftime. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. What we'll do, our halftime show for you. We're going to check in with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. And we'll get Ferg's thoughts as we get ready for the beginning of SEC Conference basketball. And take a New Year's look at the portal and other things, and get his thoughts on the playoffs as well when we come back here on the Thursday edition of The Drive.
7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Thursday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio on this edition, the first show of 2025. And I thought this was going to time out, and it almost did perfectly. Thought it would time out, and it's like coming out of our bottom of the hour break. It should be around halftime. We're 38 seconds away from half in the Sugar Bowl, and Notre Dame with a 48-yard field goal by Mitch Jeter has just taken a 6-3 lead over the Georgia Bulldogs. So we'll get to Justin Ferguson a little before halftime, but like I said, Ferg's sort of our halftime show here on the Thursday Drive. Justin, how you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I don't know how much of a halftime entertainment I can be, but it does sound like this game, I haven't watched any of it yet because I've been at basketball, but does sound like this game hasn't been super entertaining offensively, so maybe I'll be better by comparison.
No, you're right. Neither team's been able to run the ball, and Riley Leonard has missed some guys. Gunnar Stockton's been okay. He's 8 for 13 for 130 yards in the first half, but Georgia hadn't been able to run it. So, hey, but this one's a whole lot more competitive at the half than just about every other playoff game that we've had.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's been crazy to kind of see how people have overreacted to the playoff. There was talk at during the 4-team playoff how there wouldn't be really competitive games, right? And so adding 8 more teams has not made it magically more competitive. The best teams usually pull away and figure it out. And I am glad, though, that we did get that Arizona State comeback yesterday.
Yeah.
Because that was such a fun game. And, we deserved a good competitive game after these that we've had so far.
Oh, you're not kidding. I mean, that's the first one that there was any question about what was going to happen there in the fourth quarter, and it was a really exciting finish. Arizona State got to be, I mean, boy, Kenny Dillingham and Arizona State have got to be thinking, if we just had a kicker, if they just had a place kicker, then they could have gone ahead and taken care of that ball game, and it wouldn't have even gotten to overtime. But I mean, it was exciting. Arizona State moved the ball. I told Dan a little while ago, I said I felt like I was watching Auburn some of the time because they'd move the ball between the 20s, between the 30s, and then really struggle when they got near the red zone.
Yeah, and what they ended up being able to do when they made the comeback was just lean on Cam Scadaboo. And, I think that's the thing. It's just, you see the value in these games of having a running back that just is tough as nails in the red zone. And I felt like talking to Auburn, I felt like Auburn – this past season did not go to that enough.
Right.
I felt like they could never punch it in the red zone. And I think part of that is, you didn't see a whole lot of Jarquez Hunter in the red zone. And when you did, it wasn't very successful. So, you got to be able to run the ball, I think, to punch it in and finish some of these drives, especially when you play, these defenses like Arizona State was playing yesterday against Texas, where they're just so big and so fast, pretty much everywhere. It wasn't surprising that when Arizona State was able to make a comeback, they were putting the ball in the hands of their best player and letting them go to work.
Yeah, a little update on, we weren't quite at the half. Gunnar Stockton trying to pass after Georgia got the ball back with 38 seconds was hit, fumbled. Notre Dame recovered, and Riley Leonard on the first play with a play-action 13-yard touchdown pass. So,
oh, wow.
27 seconds to go in the first half, and it's about to be 13-3 Notre Dame. Notre Dame wins this one, then none of your teams that had byes will win because they're 0-3 right now.
Yeah, and it would be the old rest versus rust thing that a lot of people would be talking about. You know, obviously as a Braves fan, I've felt that a couple of years after the World Series run where Braves have this amazing team, this awesome record, and they have a bye, and they get hit by a team that had to play wildcard weekend. And, you know, so there's something, you know, everybody's going to be able to point to that, I think. I thought I was really, you know, I don't know if I'm necessarily impressed, but I just thought it was a good take from Oregon's head coach, Dan Lanning, yesterday after the game. You know, Oregon, Ohio State shouldn't have been a quarterfinal, right? You know, that's a game that should have been the seeding.
No, you're right.
I think the seeding format made no sense this year. But to his credit, after the game, he said, "Look, if we were going to win a national championship, we're going to have to beat them at some point." So, you know, I think that's a good sense of it. And so for a team like, you know, Georgia, or, you know, some of these teams like, oh, yeah, the rust hurts or anything like that. But it's like at the end of the day, you just got to, you know what you got ahead of you, and you just got to take care of it. And, really surprising that that these teams with the byes have not been able to do as well. But then again, some of these teams that had to play the first weekend or were playing some really good football towards the end of the year, they just didn't win their conferences.
Well, look, if Notre Dame wins this one, I don't think you're going to have many people saying, well, there's a cheap team in there. There's one that backed in with Notre Dame, no. Penn State, Ohio State, and Texas.
Maybe Penn State. Maybe Penn State just because of who they've had to play
True.
To get here.
True.
But even still, you know, Penn State won a lot of ball games this year and in a really tough conference, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair for sure. And I think, you know, much like Penn State, I would say, you know, the one thing I'll say about Penn State is that if it is Penn State, Ohio State, you know, Notre Dame and Texas in the final, I think one of those things that all those teams have in common is that they were playing some really good ball at the end of the year.
Yep.
And have been able to kind of stay hot. You know, so even though – they weren't the favorites coming in, or they weren't, you know, the two big favorites, I would say, coming in, with Oregon and Georgia being the one and the two seeds. There is an advantage, though, that, I mean, those teams were hot at the end of the year and got to stay hot.
Yeah, now you mentioned it, and we talked about it a little earlier. I mean, there's no question the committee is going to have to address the seeding. I don't have a problem with automatic qualifiers, but it is shown that it is crazy. It would be just as crazy if you went to the NCAA basketball tournament and said, you know, these conference champs are going to be your top four seeds. You just shouldn't do that. The best team should be the top four seeds.
100%, and I think that's the format they need to go with. You know, and I don't think you need to go full on what Greg Sankey wants and says, okay, everything should be at large. I don't think you should do that, because then it just becomes this big political game,
right?
And you know, a team can. It's like when people were trying to argue that Indiana shouldn't have been in, and it's my thing is just like, I don't want to live in a college football landscape where you have to tell a team, okay, just because you're in this conference, you have to go undefeated. And meanwhile, a team with three losses in another conference could get in. Like, I don't want to get to that point.
No, I don't either.
So I feel the same way about these automatic bids as well. They're good. They serve a purpose. I like it. I like having the group of five get a shot in there as well. But yeah, the seeding just, it really, really falls apart when you look at the seeding.
Yeah, so we'll see if they do something about that. You think we'll? I guess we're staying. We're staying with a 12 team. Format for next year. I can see the seeding moving. What would you think the next step is going to be? Do you think we're going to go to the 14, or will they just go ahead and go to 16? Because I love the home games being able to be played.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I love the home game idea. And I think, you know, my thing with this is that the NFL has a really good playoff format, and they've tweaked it and they've changed it over the years, but I do like the style they do where it's like, okay, you know exactly what you need to do to get in pretty much every year. There is a wild card or, you know, whatever, but you have a mix of automatic bids, have a mix of teams that get in, you know, play their way in, and obviously it's a little different in college. You'd have to vote on that elsewhere. But, yeah, I mean, have real home games all the way up to the final, you know, like the Super Bowl being in a neutral site. Every other playoff game in the NFL is a true home game.
That's
and
right.
That rewards the teams for getting to that point. And so I think, to me, this was my problem with the format from the beginning, is that, like, take Oregon, for example. Oregon's the only undefeated team in the country this year. Oregon's the number one seed. They steamroll. They get to it, and it's like, great job, Oregon. You did such a really good job this season. And so as a reward, you don't get to play in the first week. And when you finally get to play, it's going to be a neutral site game against one of the biggest teams in America.
Yeah.
Instead, that team was able to play at home. That team was able to, you know, get this legendary, you know, atmosphere for their first playoff game, get a big win with their crowd behind you and get hot. So that's the problem I have with that format from the beginning. Even if you want to do buys or you want to figure out some other way, teams that do the best should be able to play at home. And I feel that way all the way to the national title game. I know the bowls are big. I know they're always going to have a stranglehold on everything. The fact that the Rose Bowl wouldn't push the time back yesterday because they had to do exactly things their way last year just shows how ridiculous they are. But I think it would be really cool that if we had a playoff game, you know, next week, you know, you've got, what is it, Texas, Ohio State, you know, and that game being played, I don't know, I guess that would be in Austin, but it could be in the Shoe. And then whoever wins this game, you know, getting to play Penn State, you know, next week in their house. Like, that would be really, really cool to see, instead of, let's put you in an NFL stadium where tickets maybe $20 day of, because it's just hard for all these teams to travel.
I would say at least let there be home games all the way to the semis. Then if you wanted to have three bowls involved, but let everybody have the opportunity to be playing, you know, a home game or two before you get there.
Yeah, and I'm one of those people that just wonder how much bowls are going to exist moving forward.
Do you care about any of these other bowls? I mean, I've never watched less bowl action than this
correct.
Year.
Correct. Yeah, same. I watched the fourth quarter of the Pop-Tart Bowl between Miami and Iowa State because it was such a good game.
Right.
But that's it. That's really it. I've looked up at some stuff from time to time, but, you know, and I think it would be a little different. I'll be honest. I think it would be a little different if Auburn was playing in bowls.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Played in a bowl. I'd be more plugged in. You know, I've been kind of in basketball mode, really, since the Iron Bowl, right, and even before then, just because of the way Auburn got off to such a good start this year in basketball. So, yeah, I mean, I've been checked out, and just the product's not very good. They're always going to want to find ways to reward teams and keep, you know, keep this tradition going and all that. And it's going to be ESPN's TV inventory above
right.
all else. We all know those things. But it's just, yeah, it's just, there's not a whole lot of juice, especially if you keep expanding the playoff.
No, you're absolutely right. Talking with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here on the Thursday Drive. Ferg, can you stick with us for another segment?
Absolutely.
Great. Want to talk some basketball. Conference play is about to get underway, and what an exciting ride this is going to be. We're right back with the final segment of hour number one. Stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive 067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan's on his way down to Troy, the Troy women and Coastal Carolina in a conference matchup. And speaking of conference matchups, the SEC action gets underway Saturday. A great slate, including Auburn hosting Missouri at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Justin, we've been just excited about this. Just looking at the conference as we get ready for SEC play, talking about the fact that there are seven or eight teams projected to be high seeds right now in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's just phenomenal looking at what this conference, the entire conference, has done here in pre-conference play.
It's incredible. I mean, I wrote about it today, The Observer. I mean, you can make the argument that this could be the best conference season for college basketball, at least in the last 30 years, if not more. This is kind of incredible what the SEC has been able to put together. The only other conferences that have had this kind of like this many teams up top be as good as they are going into conference play is the ACC, and that was back when the ACC only had 9 teams.
Yeah.
This is a 16-team conference where, I mean, the projected last-place team in the league right now, South Carolina, beat Clemson, which is probably the second or third-best team in the ACC right now. South Carolina has a better KenPom rating than more than half of the ACC right now. And they are dead last in the SEC coming into it. And it's just – it's incredible. I mean, pretty much every team in the SEC has, like, a really high-quality win or two in non-conference play. Obviously, Auburn has several of them. You know, it's even the teams we thought weren't going to be very good this year played above and beyond their expectations in non-conference play. Oklahoma hasn't lost yet. Oklahoma went on away from home and beat Michigan. I thought Oklahoma was going to be terrible this year. It just shows you just top to bottom how great this league is. And I think the best, you know, stat that you can kind of come for it is that on KenPom, Auburn's rating right now is the highest of any team ever heading at this point in the year. The only team that's close to them was the Kentucky team that went undefeated until they got to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
That Kentucky team, like I said, went undefeated. Auburn's projected to lose 3 SEC games. That's how tough this league is going to be this year, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to be a bloodbath. But I mean, you're going to see teams several games below 500 be in the hunt for an NCAA tournament, and that's crazy to think about with what the SEC has been historically.
Yeah, because half the teams have to lose. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the way exactly. It is. When somebody wins, somebody loses. And, I mean, these records right now are phenomenal. I mean, you look, and you're right, South Carolina is the only team with more than 2 losses. You've got 7 teams that have 1 or 0 losses going in. So, I mean, Bruce is absolutely right. There are going to be some losses. Auburn's going to lose. I mean, I'm not being a negative Nancy saying Auburn's going to lose games. I mean, you know, you're not going to see, I don't think, anybody be able to go 16-2, 15-3 in this league, I think would be just mind-blowing.
Yeah, 15-3 is currently what Auburn's projected at right now, and that is a very – I mean, again, you're going off of a projection where it says this team might be the best one we've seen in 20 years. Like, that's – it takes that to get to 15-3, which is crazy. I was like, right now, Alabama's a top 10 team on KenPom. They're projected to go 11-7 in the league. Like, that's how tough this conference is. And I go back to an example, like with Auburn fans, just kind of like, you know, kind of pump the brakes a little bit. This team's awesome and everything, but, you know, losses will happen and you got to learn from them. UConn, last season, UConn, you know, coming off a national championship, they were even better last season, just kind of a wagon from front to back. They lost, I remember, they lost back-to-back Big East games at one point, and I think they finished with like 3 or 4 Big East losses that year, and that was a team that was the surest thing in college basketball last season. The SEC is even better and even deeper as a conference this year. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just Auburn's going to have to, you know, do a really good job of holding serve at home. I do think the one thing that Auburn is, it really helps out Auburn, is that the scheduling gods were in their favor this year, because Florida and Tennessee are 2 top 10 quality teams right now. Tennessee is probably the best team in the country not named Auburn, and it goes back and forth in the polls.
And you got them at home.
Auburn doesn't have to go to either of those. Both of those have to come home, and that's going to be huge. That's going to be so big this year that you don't have to go to Knoxville, you don't have to go to Gainesville, because of how hard those places have been to win last, you get to bring them there. So of the top, the elite teams you have to play in the SEC, only one of them you have to play on the road, and that's Alabama.
All right, Justin, we're about out of time. Let everybody know how they can get the Observer for the new year.
Yep. AuburnObserver.com, $6 a month for $60 a year. Plenty of stuff coming. Mailbag tomorrow, podcast tomorrow. We'll preview the Missouri game. Got a lot of stuff coming up this weekend. So AuburnObserver.com, check it out.
Back with hour number two here on The Drive.
Hip pain is
production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Thursday Drive, first show of 2025. Hey, a little rhyme there. I didn't even plan that. The second hour of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love to hear from you. It is still halftime of the Sugar Bowl, where Notre Dame leading Georgia 13-3. 10 points in the last 38 seconds for Notre Dame as they kicked a field goal and then forcing a fumble from Gunnar Stockton and recovering that, and then immediately converting it with a touchdown pass from Riley Leonard. And Notre Dame leads Georgia 13-3 at the half. That is the final playoff game, obviously postponed from last night after the terrible tragedy on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And the winner of this ball game will take on Penn State, while the other matchup in the semifinal will be Texas and Ohio State. And if Notre Dame hangs on and wins this ball game, that means none of the top four seeds, none of the teams that had first-round byes would advance, would win in their only game in the playoffs. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind sports-wise as we're just getting underway here in hour number two. Want to let you know a little programming adjustment for today. Since we have Auburn women's basketball against number 25 Missouri coming up at 6 o'clock, airtime's going to be 5:40, so we'll be off around 5:35. We do have a Tiger Takes with Dylan Cardwell. We'll run that in a second segment here in this hour, so it'll be coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But until then, phone lines are open, and let's get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bill. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good.
Good. Bill, have the dates been set for the finals yet? Or will that, if whoever wins this game, George, Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me look and see when as a matter of fact, the national championship game is on the 20th. I know that. So the let me pull up the
almost around the 9th and 10th, 11th.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was the 10th and the 11th. Let's see. It will be the 9th. The Penn State against the winner of this ball game right here, Notre Dame and Georgia. And Notre Dame looks like they're gaining some traction. As a matter of fact, the opening kickoff, the second half, may be taken to the house. How about Notre Dame with 20 points now, 17 points in a matter of less than a minute? Because that's 14 seconds into the second half. Notre Dame returns the opening kickoff of the second half for a touchdown. So it appears, unless Georgia is able to make some kind of comeback, looks like you could have Penn State, Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. That's going to be 6:30 on January 9th, which will be a week from today. So Penn State gets an extra day more than the winner of this ball game. Then the Cotton Bowl is next Friday night, Texas Ohio State. That's also a 6:30 kick.
Now, if you said Notre Dame ran the kickoff back, so they got a 20-3 lead.
Yeah, well, it's about to be extra points coming. Yeah.
Capable of scoring 17 points with Gunnar Stockton.
I do not know that they are, and this Notre Dame defense is not bad either.
Yeah, exactly. So
Georgia hadn't been able to run. Neither team's been able to run the ball today.
Yeah, it's been a defensive battle for sure.
Yep.
I heard today that Jalen Mills was going to go pro.
I think that has sort of been his plan since before the season. Remember, he toyed with the idea a year ago. And I think that was his plan. I mean, from everything I've heard, as a matter of fact, I'd be surprised if he doesn't now.
What does that leave the Alabama quarterback situation like next year?
Well, they had Dylan. You know, they had Dylan Lonergan, who was highly touted from a year ago. They brought in a very highly touted signee as well. But I would sure think they'd be in the market for an experienced guy at quarterback. But who's out there now?
Right. Exactly.
You know, the one name that I've heard though is Quinn Ewers. You know, Ewers, I mean, it's crazy. Ewers could lead Texas, and I don't think Texas is going to win the whole thing. I just don't. They have a period, it seems like, in every ball game where they struggle for a while, and I just don't know that they're dynamic enough offensively. And I think Arizona State actually showed some flaws in that Texas defense yesterday. But Ewers, I think everybody expects him to not be at Texas next year. If he doesn't go to the NFL, there'll be a lot of teams that would be very interested in Quinn Ewers while Texas, you know, goes with Arch Manning next year.
Now, if Texas has a struggle period against Ohio State, they'll get burned bad.
Yeah.
Ohio State's playing really well.
They really are. Well, they're playing the way people thought they would play or could play, you know, before the Michigan game. Because, you know, they lost that one-point game at Oregon. And they get their revenge yesterday. Man, oh man. But they look right now, they look to be the best team of all the teams still left alive.
Yes, by far. And it's not even close, quite honestly. You know, now the days we live in of NIL, the best team money can buy, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. They're a great advertisement for that, because I mean, it's been talked about that they spent $20-21 million on this team. You win a national championship, then it's probably worth every penny.
At least. Appreciate it, Bill. Have a good weekend, man.
All right, Terry, good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. Yes, it is a 20-3 Notre Dame lead over Georgia. And again, as we said, I mean, that rust versus rest. I mean, I don't know that Georgia looks terribly rusty. It's just they haven't been able to run the ball. They are huge on both lines of scrimmage, and they haven't played bad defensively. Really, they've got 20 points. Notre Dame has 20 points, but they scored on a one play 13-yard possession at the end of the first half after a fumble, and then the other touchdown came on a kickoff return to start the second half. So the Georgia defense has played fine. It's just they haven't been able to get anything going offensively. They can't really seem to run the ball. And now Gunnar Stockton is under more and more pressure. He had a pretty good first half until that fumble. He was 8 of 13 for 129 yards in the first half. But without the threat of a running game, play action is, it's useless. And so they're now having to rely on Georgia having to throw on most downs, and they're faced with third and longs, just as they are right now. It's about to be third and eight. I'm telling you, they're letting them play both teams. They're letting both teams play very physical in the secondary. Notre Dame was called for a flag early in the ball game, an interference call early in the game. Could have had one called right there, but it wasn't. We'll keep you updated on this one. Again, Auburn basketball getting ready, and we'll look at the matchups in the SEC this Saturday. I mean, they're great. Of course, first of all, the only team with more than two losses in the league is South Carolina, and like Justin Ferguson was saying, I mean, their KenPom is higher than more than half of the ACC. South Carolina at 10-3 will be at number 17, Mississippi State. State, one of those four teams that is 12-1. Yeah, we mentioned it a little earlier, but Florida, Oklahoma, and Tennessee are all 13-0. Auburn, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Vandy are 12-1. Then Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri. Oh, Texas and Texas A&M are 11-2, and then poor South Carolina comes in at 10-3. But your schedule for tomorrow gets started with the with the Florida-Kentucky top 10 matchup. Number 6, Florida unbeaten at number 10, Kentucky. That is a 10 o'clock tip tomorrow morning in Lexington on ESPN. Second game of the day will be Georgia, who is not ranked, but they're 12-1 at number 24, Ole Miss. That is an 11 o'clock start on the SEC Network. That will be followed at noon by another ESPN matchup of a top 25 matchup, number 23, Arkansas, at number 1, Tennessee. So, I mean, you can tell just from getting things started, those are the first three games. As you move on through the day, 1 o'clock, South Carolina is at number 17, Mississippi State. That's another SEC Network game, which will lead into the Missouri-Auburn game at 3 o'clock. And, you know, Missouri, also another one of those 11-2 teams coming in against Auburn, 12-1. The rest of the slate for the SEC tomorrow has Vandy at LSU, one of the, I guess that's one of the just, is that the only? Yeah, that is the only game in which both teams are not ranked in the SEC tomorrow for the Vandy-LSU game. That's a 3:30 start on ESPN2. At 5 o'clock, Alabama, number 5, ranked this week, hosting Oklahoma on the SEC Network. And that will then be followed at 7 o'clock by Texas at Texas A&M and the Aggies, number 13. So, I mean, what a day in the SEC for college basketball. I mean, the shame is that, you know, you're going to have eight more losses. How many losses are there in the SEC combined right now? The SEC has 23 losses. That's going to go up by more than a third after Saturday, because in eight games, you're going to have eight losers. So, I mean, that's what Bruce Pearl was letting folks know, that hey, there are going to be some losses. Auburn will lose. Auburn's not going to go unbeaten. If they do, it will be one of the most phenomenal feats that you've ever seen in the history of college basketball through this league to try to do that. So, yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, I think that a 13-5 might win the SEC, because what that means, you know, if you go 14-4, That would expect that means you hold court at home. You go 9-0 at home, and you're still having to go 5-4 on the road to get you to 14-4. And in this league, with the competition, with the teams that there are, it's going to be very tough to expect anybody to do that or much better. But as Justin was saying, I mean, right now you look at some projections. They have, because of strength of schedule, RPI, the KenPom, and everything, Auburn right now being projected, or they will be the favorite in 15 of the 18 games right now. Of course, things could change and will quite a bit as they move on. Notre Dame has held Georgia, and they have the ball back up 20-3. Still early in the third quarter, but an uphill battle for the Dogs as they are playing there in New Orleans, down 20-3. We'll get to our first break. We've got Tiger Takes with Dylan Cardwell coming up on the other side. So stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill.